Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 59.
59 episodes. We are steaming them out.
Steaming through them. We're not steaming them out. We're steaming through them. Never say that again.
Apologies. How are you?
I was all right, so you said that.
Oh, that's a typical case of Liv getting something that everyone knows wrong.
I'm all right. I think I speak on behalf of a few people where I'm a bit bummed. That's the only way I'm like bummed out. Because like,
yeah.
I think on Sunday we were just all hoping for like something. I don't know what I was hoping for, but...
I feel like I was hoping for like, I don't know, really clear guidance on when things would be laid out. Like, okay, you can't go out for another 4 or 5 weeks, but don't worry because we're working on stuff. Whereas I feel like it's just been a bit like of a confusion.
And we can finally play golf again, so that's great news.
I'm so excited to hit up that golf course with one other member of my household.
And also, I don't know, I think like the frustrating part, if nobody knows what we're talking about, we're talking about the Prime Minister's speech that was on Sunday. And I think the most like ridiculous part is, I mean, some people, like if you go on Twitter, some people are like, they're just really clear. I don't know what your problem is. And it's like, I think it's the fact they're just open to interpretation. Like yeah. I saw one and it said, well, your nanny and your cleaner can come back. So I was like, can I just not hire my mum and dad as my nanny and my cleaner and then they can just come to my house?
But that's the thing. I think that's the problem. Me and Joe said that. I said, like, I was on Twitter, and obviously I think on Twitter you're in a bit of an echo chamber and you largely follow people that have similar views to you. But even with that mentality and following people that I primarily largely agree with, everyone had different interpretations, which showed how vague it was, because I feel like everyone kind of could take out of it what they wanted, which is exactly the problem.
Yeah, I think as well, because obviously everyone's got different priorities. So like for people like isolating by themselves, obviously their first reaction is, well, I've been doing this for 8 weeks on my own. Like I need to see somebody now. Whereas my priority is I've been doing this on my own with a toddler. I need to get rid of the toddler, not get rid of the toddler. But you know, like everyone's got, whilst we're all thinking about the bigger picture. And then to just tell people to go back to work and use public transport, I'm already confused, but to not use public transport.
And then it's that blame, isn't it? Like this morning, Joe was like, he obviously seen lots of things on Twitter about people on buses in London. And it's just like, but people are following their guidance because obviously the risk of not going to work might be greater if you're in a compromised job or your boss is saying, I want you in, and you've got no other means of getting there. Like you can't cycle from, if you live in like, I don't know, Richmond and you work in Stratford, or like London is a big place to not use public transport.
Absolutely.
Like any city. I mean, this is just, I'm talking from a Londoner's perspective.
Absolutely. And I think as well, like Lincoln is a big place to get from like one side of the city. And for quite like manual jobs, I think I've been quite livid. I've had a lot of emotions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Where are we?
We're on Wednesday
we're
still.
We're on Wednesday, yeah.
Still here, Charlotte.
Yeah, and we're at the emotion level. I went for a run, so that was great. And now I'm just feeling a bit tired again. It's 1 o'clock and I'm like, nap time. I don't have naps because of the toddler.
Oh, no. It's a lot. And it's, yeah, it's really confusing. And it feels very much like, I don't know. I know that I think a lot of us find hope in kind of like knowing there'll be like an end. And I mean, it's never going to be like, I mean, from the beginning, it was never going to be like, oh, street parties when this ends, because that's not like the virus isn't a thing. It's not a person. It's never
going to. It is, Liv. You need to stay alert now.
But that's what I said to Joe. It's like, do people not realize that the virus is, it's like Mr. Rona's not going to do a speech and be like, guys, enough. I'm not spreading anymore. This is over. I'm leaving. Nice to see you. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, I don't know.
Well, now go. Walk out the door.
Okay, you've got me now, guys. I know, it's just, it's mad. But yeah, no, I'm feeling that as well. I feel like we're all kind of a bit just, I don't know. That's probably how I'd sum up. We're all a bit, I don't know.
Yeah, where are we at now? Week 8? Week 9?
Yeah, I've been saying variations of 7 to 9. So we're around that mark.
It's a long old slog. But anyway, hello, everyone. We're back here with an uplifting podcast.
Yeah. And we promise we will not mention. Actually, we might do, but we'll try and keep it light from here on in. There's lots of goodies in this week's podcast. It's going to be a laugh from here on in as well. So keep tuned.
Well, it can't be as funny as last. So keep tuned. I was going to let it go. Bye. Keep tuned.
Keep tuned, guys. Keep tuned. I'm Bob Mortimer. Keep tuned. Have a cappuccino. Keep tuned.
My mum, after last week's episode where I said, do not listen to this, obviously went on to listen to it. Oh. And now just won't stop saying the word horny. Every time I call her up, she's like, oh, remember that bit on the podcast where you said, and I'm like, just stop it.
You say that like your mum discovered the word horny last week. Like
No, she like just keeps, but she's never said it to me. And now she like just keeps taking the mic and saying it. I'm like, can you just stop it?
Oh my god. Oh, it never gets less weird.
Yeah. So mum, just please stop it.
You're like, mum, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I was going to tell you what else has happened this week, but I'm going to save it for the funny quarantales section.
Yeah, I feel like we've got some very good quarantales.
So let's move right on to Teletalk. Straight on to Teletalk, right on. This, honestly, I think like the longer that I only speak to Jack, you and like a few select friends on Zoom, like the worse, what word was I trying to use yesterday? Landing. I couldn't remember the word for landing. You know, like the bit on the
Yeah, the bit in the hall.
Yeah, the landing.
What did you call it?
It just took me a long while to like remember what the word was.
Oh dear.
Anyway,
I hope all the quarantales are as good as that one, Charlotte.
Right, normal people, I'm finished, I'm done.
Right, you finished it.
Yeah.
Feedback.
I did a U-turn. I loved it.
Oh my god, I can't even see your mouth from your spit guard.
It's not a, is it a spit guard? Is that what it's called?
You were calling it that.
Yeah, I think it is called a spit guard. Who only knows? We're professional podcasters here.
Very highbrow.
There you go. Can you see me now?
Yeah, I just wanted to see your, like, coy smile.
Yeah, it was weird. So episode 1 and 2, Dolesville, Boresville, not into it. But I would consider going back to rewatch it.
Yeah.
You're right. When they got to Italy, fantastic. Like... well into that. Where was that shop they were going to? Just wanted to ask about that.
Oh, I don't know.
You know the one where they go on the bike ride to the shop?
Oh, it's just like a supermarket, isn't
it? I just think it was a lie for beautiful bike scenes, because I wouldn't, it looked like a long way to go, to be honest.
There's probably one that was closer but had more like holiday merchandise out the front and was less less aesthetic.
I literally thought though, once they were like at the shop and they were sat down having the ice on that the characters from Call Me By Your Name could have just like walked in at that point. Oh,
honestly, that's where my two worlds collided and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was really invested in like what happened to them. I watched like 2 episodes at once to try and like eke it out. And then, weirdly, after it finished, and I still don't think it's the best thing I've ever watched, but I did really enjoy it. And like I said, I've done a U-turn. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, what am I thinking?
Yeah, I properly did the whole, like, very invested in, like, watching interviews with them and just really, like, I want more.
Yeah, but I can't really explain, like, why it stayed with me for 2 days or what I was thinking about. It was very much just, like, a mood. I think I was a bit, you know, you had that Thursday. It was really bad.
Oh,
God, flat. Yeah, I had a really bad day, and I do think it, I do wonder if it was to do with normal people ending.
Maybe that's causing the nationwide sadness, is the ending of normal people.
Not the fact that we can't hug our families. It's
nothing to do with the global pandemic. Yeah, no, I felt the same. And do you think any of it, like, I don't know, I felt like when I watched it, it had that air of nostalgia where I was thinking about, like, past relationships and that awkwardness and that kind of uncomfortable thing. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. Did you feel like that?
I've tried to, like, get rid of a lot of that stuff, as in, like, I try and not.
Oh, yeah, my past relationships were nothing like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, wow, if my past relationships were like that, I'd be like, hello.
I know, I'd be making some calls.
Then I understand, like, Adele, hello.
It's me.
Let's get back together. I still, I don't know. I feel like we should have recorded the podcast immediately after I watched it.
Oh no, it's already gone.
Yeah, but I just want to say, so, you know, I mentioned Maria McFarlane last week.
Yes.
The lovely follower from Belfast. Well, she was very excited that we featured on the podcast. I'm going to feature her again because I don't feel like what she said, I just basically mumble jumbled and didn't really say anything. And then we had, like, another conversation. So I'm going to read it out because I just think it's so important. And she said, I love that you featured my point, as it's so prevalent. And one of the things I adored about the book and show was how they portrayed men in Ireland and how tough it is. Paul Mescal's performance was so, so outstanding, as the male struggle with mental health is becoming somewhat of a widespread issue countrywide. Northern Ireland has lost more people to suicide than have died in the Troubles as of this year, and the majority of that is to men. To see that portrayed so well and to know that my little brother and his friend saw that is an amazing moment, and it's so, so important that the stigma is lifted. I feel like that was a conversation following up from last week's podcast, but I just think that statistic about suicide, it's horrendous.
It's sure. That's the thing. Like, I mean, obviously, I think we live in England, and I think Joe was watching it, and as his experience, even living here, he was like, I've never seen a conversation about male mental health, like, communicated like that, and his experience. And he said it just felt really raw and, like, so important.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, even if I don't think it's the best thing since sliced bread, and I think, you know, it was pretty good bread, I don't think that matters. Like, as long as people are finding it, are watching it, and it's speaking to people about so many different issues, then great.
I think that's it. I think even if you didn't like it, I think there's so many things that will help people, and, like, people might see things reflected back at them in a way, like, even, like, people are saying, I wish I'd seen this as a teenager, about consent and, like, about navigating, like first times and that kind of awkwardness, because it's almost addressing conversations that people don't know how to have.
Yeah, totally agree. And I just want to say, that scene in the bedroom where it's really hot and they were going to get the ice lollies, I literally thought, I was like, in the room, I was like, this is really, I'm really hot.
Oh, do you follow Connell's Chain? I think, yeah. I asked you this last week.
Yeah, no, I'm into it. Jax refused point blank to get a chain.
Maybe I'll just send one up in an anonymous, like, Amazon delivery.
It was his birthday in June, so maybe you can send him it then. Maybe rude not to wear a gift.
Me and Joe will send him a silver chain.
I would really enjoy that. I don't know, if maybe he could go for a gold one. Who knows?
Maybe June should get him one.
Yeah, and then
a,
I get it engraved.
From his daughter. Yeah.
Then he can't not wear it, can he?
Yeah, he might not wear one for me and Joe.
Actually, I'm not that bothered about like offending Liv and Joe, but my daughter, on the other hand, different story.
There you go. We've got him.
Anyway, can I give it an 8 out of 10?
I think you can give it an 8 out of 10. I'm happy with that. Not that I'm like, you know, the boss of the world.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised I did a U-turn?
I'm surprised. I feel like a lot of people have done U-turns who have watched it. I haven't seen anyone. I've seen people that haven't got it. But I think a lot of people have kind of, as it's gone on, got more into it. I'm happy. I'm glad you did a U-turn. I would have understood had you not done a U-turn. But I'm glad. I appreciate the fact you gave it a chance. The next thing I've watched this week, I've watched a few different things. I've watched quite a lot, actually.
I just feel like you're getting cross with yourself.
I'm quite impressed by how much I've watched. I was looking at my list and I was going to include things I haven't watched that I want to watch, but I'm not going to do that now.
I have that little list every week just in case,
and I'm like, I don't even need that. So the first thing, I've watched three films this week. I'm going to touch on all of them really quickly. Started off with Knives Out, which I know you've seen.
Oh, can't wait to discuss that.
Oh, I didn't know if I was going to enjoy it. And even at the beginning, I had my phone on my lap and I kept glancing at it because I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
Oh my God, this is literally what happened. This is literally, you're telling me how I watched it.
Yeah, and Joe was like, can you just put your phone down and watch it? Because he's seen it before. So he was like, you will like it, you will like it. And I got really into it. I kind of like put my phone down, I was looking. And I was just a bit like, oh, I don't know. I think this is a bit cheesy. Like, I can't see where this is going. And then it just, once you kind of give it a chance and kind of find out, because it's a whodunit, essentially. If you haven't heard us talking about this before, Knives Out is a whodunit.
It's got Daniel Craig in as well, just in case that might pique anybody's interest.
Just in case you need a real, like, link and a real pull. But I feel like you get really into it and really invested. And I really, really enjoyed it and actually got like really into it. It's the point where it's funny because I think it's one of those films that even my mum and dad were like, oh no, we've seen it. Like, we've seen it obviously being out and available to watch, but we're just not sure. And I was like, no, watch it. And I feel like maybe a few people have that kind of perspective where they're like, I just don't know if I'm going to enjoy it.
It's good. It's quirky. Like, you've got to get into the world of the family.
Yeah.
And I do think that you're like, oh, where is this going? Not that you need to know like the ending of every film, but you're a bit like, oh, but it's good. I would definitely recommend people watch it. It's a corker.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. And then on, what day was it? Sunday night,
mind when you watched it.
No, that was Friday, and on Sunday I asked the internet for some suggestions of really great rom-coms. I actually called them chick flicks, which is another conversation that I will reserve for another episode. It's quite interesting. I had a lot of different conversations with people about the use of the word or the term chick flicks, and some people weren't as happy with it, but a few people who had studied film actually said why it's an important genre. Anyway, I
you didn't leave it, did you?
No, I didn't. I digressed. But I had so many recommendations of amazing, amazing chick rom-coms and like just feel-good films.
I know the genre and I love it.
And I was, people knew what I was talking about. Let's just say that people came and they listened and they gave and they were very generous. So the film I watched on Sunday for the first time was Brooklyn.
The first time?
Well, I've watched it once before. But
sorry to scream at you.
Me and Joe were actually away and we watched it in the evening. I think I fell asleep and I don't know why.
That film has got you written all over it.
It honestly has. It was so beautiful and... It was actually lovely Rosie, who edits the podcast. She recommended it. And I was like, yeah, trust Rosie, trust.
Where did you find that? Because I wanted to watch it, but like, you know how I pretty much just copy everything you do. I thought I might wait a few days.
Thanks. I think I watched it on Virgin. So I think I bought it for £3.
Oh, okay, not bad, because those, some of those Virgin prices are extortionate.
Like, oh yeah, don't start me again on how much The Sound of Music was. Oh, shocking. But no, I paid, I think, £3.49, which I was like, no, no, I tell you a lie. It was Amazon. It was Amazon. I bought it on Amazon.
You bought it on Amazon. I wonder. Okay, interesting. Fine. Because I'm going to watch that this week.
Yeah, no, it was really beautiful. And I just loved it. I loved the storytelling. I loved the costumes. I love Saoirse Ronan. And I think it was just a really beautiful, easy to follow story, which was just, it was just like, it was feel good. A few little sads in there, but not too much. It's just one of those films, I think, if you want like a real classic romance, kind of with a few little weepies, but not like, you know, ones that will leave you devastated, it's a really great watch.
I think we should have like a cryometer where it's like About Time is on one end.
Yeah, and I'd then say this was maybe a one or a two
away from like About Time is a 10.
Yeah, I'd say I'd probably give it a 2 or a 3.
Okay, Jack suggested we watch that again the other day. I was like, never watching that film again.
I love About Time, but yeah, no, I have to really need to let, you know.
Yeah, I had a day, I think I've said this on the podcast last week, where I was due on my period and I just really wanted to cry, and I tried so many things and like nothing was working, and I just knew that I needed to cry. I should have just gone straight for About Time, but I thought 9 a.m. was a bit early.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. 9 a.m. would be quite early, especially because it might leave you feeling quite exhausted.
I literally felt like Cameron Diaz in The Holiday, though, where she keeps trying to cry. And I was just like, I just need to cry.
Yeah, no, it's a gentle weep. And the last film that I watched this week is Never Been Kissed for the first time.
What? You've never seen Never Been Kissed?
No, I haven't. But it's good, isn't it?
I don't even know what to say. Where were you?
I don't know. I really literally do not know where I was. Because it's on Disney Plus.
I don't want to be Josie Grossi anymore.
Honestly, there's a lot of things to quote in that film. There's a lot going on. And there's a lot of things to think about. Guys' outfits? Who dresses that man?
Never Been Kissed, 1999. You've got no excuse, really.
No, I was 6. Maybe. Oh, I was
no, you do have an excuse. Fine.
I was probably a tiny bit young when it came out.
Okay,
but,
so I was like 12, so.
Yeah. No, it was really good. There was a lot to think about.
How old are you?
Like, huh?
I'm just trying to figure out how old
I'm 26.
Are you? And I'm nearly 34 next week.
No, I'm 26, yeah.
So you were 6. Oh, hang on, what year were you born? This is easier. 93 86 87 88 89 90 91 92 93. So you were 6, I was 12. Oh my god, no, I was 13. Yeah, that's why I've seen it 475 times.
No, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I really enjoyed it. I thought there was a few things that, because I was watching it and I was WhatsApping Gemma and Jenny at the same time, because we were like watching it at the same time. We're doing a watch along and we were talking about guys' outfits, which are just shocking considering he's like the guy that everyone likes.
Yeah.
Purple slim fitting shirts and flares. I'm like, no, sir, stop.
That was totally a thing, though. Like, that's how I dressed when I was that age.
But I don't know. But her outfits, trying to be a high school student, I was like, no. And she kept saying, I'm a high school student, which I quite like, because that is how I lie. It was such, like, she cannot lie. But the only thing I will say is I thought it was quite weird that she danced with the teacher at prom.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree with that. But mind you, if you look back at like Big with Tom Hanks, like that whole film now is just weird.
Yeah, see, I haven't watched that for a while, which I might revisit that. But yeah, I was just like, you shouldn't dance with your teacher at prom.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And his reaction when he found out she was actually 25, he was like frustrated. And I'm just like, no, now you are like legally allowed to like her.
Yeah, I find those films a bit peculiar because, yeah.
I guess sometimes with those films, you have to kind of I think things have changed, things have moved on, but just take them at face value. You can question them, I think, but sometimes it takes the joy out of them when you watch it through like proper skeptical glasses, because then you're like, problematic, problematic, problematic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then like some episodes of Sex and the City, I'm like, well, this is lovely. And actually, do you know what I mean? Sometimes
you just have to go, right, okay, I'm acknowledging that this is problematic, but sometimes I just need to watch something that's just a bit like...
And that was quite the selection of films there. Very eclectic.
Thank you. I've got one more thing. It's not a film. My favourite comedy, Stathlet's Flats,
She loves it.
I love it. And I feel like, I said to Joe, because a lot of people have watched, they've basically done a lockdown 8-minute version, which is all of the characters on Zoom. And it's amazing. And Jack actually sent it to me. He's like, have you seen this? And I was like, yes, I have.
Oh, let me guess. Jack sent you it like 3 days after it was popular, because that...
No, actually, only a day.
That's not bad for Jack. My husband is notorious. Like, he's just not got his finger on the pulse. And he doesn't care. But like every single meme he sends me, I'm like, I've seen it. Seen it. Seen
Joe
it.
Says that too. I'm a bit like that with Joe, though. I send Joe things. He's like, yeah, I saw that. I'm like, why didn't you show me?
How dare you?
Why? But it is brilliant. It's 8 minutes long, and I've seen quite a few people talk about it, and I'm like, oh, now you like Stathlet's Flats, huh? Like, I do feel a bit like, it's like when people get into your favourite band after they... It's like, it's Kings of Leon.
I was just about to say, this is Kings of Leon all over again.
It's like, oh, it's Stathlet's Flats. It's a YouTube version. Oh, now you want to watch it? Like, I mean, I do encourage everyone to watch it, because it is brilliant, and all the characters in it are fantastic, and it's just really silly, and they're all talking about working from home or being furloughed, and there's a lot of quotes, there's a lot of good quotes, and I could say them to you, but I know they'll be lost, and I feel like I'll end up sounding a bit ridiculous, but do go and watch it, because it's really effing funny.
I was just going to say, firstly, I need to get into Stathlet's Flats. I don't know why I'm resisting it. I think it's just in case I don't find it as funny, and then I don't know, it might make our friendship suffer. But also, like, why are you really protective over some things? Like, some things, like, I just want everyone to watch, but there's, like, a couple of things, or, like, and I'm like, no, that is not for you, that is my thing.
I think, yeah, I know what you mean, and sometimes I think it's because maybe it's something you love so much, and you know is a bit, like, isn't loved by everyone, that you think if someone else watches it and they don't like it, you're just like, oh, whatever. But then you feel, yeah, no, it's weird, isn't it? There are things that I do feel a bit protective over, which I'm just like, when really it's like, actually, I want these people to do well, and I want people to see what they're doing and laugh, and yeah, weird. But no, it's brilliant. And I feel like maybe start with the YouTube version, because I think it's very funny, and it's like it really sums up what the whole series is about. And it's 8 minutes long. And if you don't like it, you don't have to go further.
Fine, right, I'll do that after I've done this. Actually, the first thing I'm doing after I've recorded this is make a cup of tea, and then I'll do that,
and then maybe record your reaction afterwards, so we could put it in next week's episode, and then we've got a live Charlotte's, and then we can quote it. That'll be so nice.
Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
I really would. Carol Collins, you don't have to say your name when you come onto Zoom. I know, I was testing the audio. Carol Collins.
I mean, I love something to quote. I absolutely love something to quote.
There's that's gonna have that.
I have watched. I'm gonna cut you up. Hollywood, finally. Have you seen it advertised on Netflix?
Yeah, I've seen it
advertised on Netflix. You know what I mean, like the previews. No.
I've seen it advertised. I think my mum and dad started watching it, but I haven't watched it. Tell all.
So, I've been thinking about it for a while, but there's not that much that I want to watch at the moment. So I'm kind of like, gotta calm down. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't just be racing through these things because nothing new's getting made. So let's all just calm down. Anyway, it's made by a couple of people who worked on Pose. And if you're new around here, I love to talk about Pose.
Oh,
which
yes.
Is now available on Netflix as well as the BBC. But I'm really hoping, like I said to Jack, I really hope that people watch Hollywood and then go back and watch Pose. It's not got like a lot of the same casting, but Ryan Murphy is one of the co-writers and the incredible Janet Mock is the executive producer on Hollywood. And she was like the writer, the director, the producer on Pose. And each episode is like 50-ish minutes, which I think is a good amount.
Tell me
what you think about the length of a TV show, because I've got something to say about the next thing that I'm watching that I think it's too short.
I think 50 minutes is good, because if you're like in a bit of a rush, you'd be like, oh, it's less than an hour, but then it's basically an hour. Whereas I feel like sometimes 25 minutes, just like normal people, goes through and you're like, it's just started.
Yeah, what? Yeah, totally agree with you. Don't apologize for having an opinion. Amen. And it's set in the 1950s and it's looking at Hollywood. And basically how corrupt it is and what a lot of marginalized people have to do to get ahead in it. Like the only person that's succeeding is the white man. And everybody else, it's just like lifting the lid on that. But it's done in a really kind of like glamorous way. The sets are incredible. The costumes are incredible. The hair and makeup, like it is. Jack said, do you want to watch your sexy show? I said, yeah, I do want to watch my sexy show, actually. And it's really, really, really good. We have watched three episodes, the seven episodes, and it is another one of those blooming limited series. Like, fine, but just, I don't know, give me some hope or promise of a second season. But if you haven't watched that yet and you've been thinking about it, because I saw it and I've been putting it off and I don't really know why, I've gone in and I'm thrilled, absolutely over the moon that I've gone there.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll visit.
And the next thing I've watched is Run, which I've spoken about before, but each episode is 24 minutes long and you have to wait a whole week for a new episode.
Oh, that's not fair. That's the thing. If it's going to be that short, you've got to have all of them.
Yeah, and the way that it is, it's almost getting a bit silly now. A bit, I don't know. At first, it wasn't kind of believable, but like now it's getting a bit farcical. And there's a lot of like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And then I've got to wait a week. Jack and I literally checked Now TV every night for four nights, waiting for it to come back. We were like, where's the new episode? Can you remember the days? Or maybe you were too young, but I remember Friday night waiting for a new episode of Friends. And just one episode was enough. It was like, it's fine. And the next week I'd watch the next one. Well, it is not the mid-90s anymore. Early 2000s.
Things have moved on.
Yeah, I need the whole series at once.
Is it good though? Is it worth watching?
It is, but I would just wait till the series is over and then just watch it all back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, I'll wait then.
Yeah, don't stress yourself out. Yeah. And then the two things on my want to watch list are Brassic, which is back for season two. But it's quite stressful. It's got Joe Gilgan in and Michelle Keegan. And like the whole thing is that they're like petty thieves. So it's a bit stressful. I absolutely love Joe Gilgan though, but I'm just not quite ready to
watch it. Channel's that on?
What channel is that on? Jack got it up. I think he had to switch the Xbox on. So I'm going to say Now TV because I think it's on Sky something. I can't keep up with all these channels. And the second thing that I'm desperate to watch, I might go in for it tonight, is the Michelle Obama documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just feel like we all need a bit of Michelle Obama right now.
Oh, always. Like, I could listen to her talk about anything. Did I say this last week?
No, maybe you did. I don't know.
I feel like I've said this to someone because I'm just like, I could listen to her reading me bedtime stories.
Well, yeah, I'd love that.
Wouldn't.
So that's everything I've watched this week. Going back to what I've done this week, can I just sign off Teletalk with the fact that Jack gave me a haircut?
I know. I was so impressed.
It's absolutely terrible. But my hair was getting so ratty, and I spoke to my mum, and she's like, "Well, if you leave it too long, the split ends work their way up the hair, so that's why you like it feels really bad." And he gave me a haircut last night in the kitchen, and we didn't even go for the layering. Like, when I mean layers, I mean like, you know, pinning half of it up, not at, like actual layers, but we just went for like the straight across chop.
That's quite romantic, isn't it? Quite intimate.
There's a character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine called Boyle, and he says the most intimate thing that you can do with somebody is wash their hair.
I don't know if I'd want to do washing my hair.
Yeah, what TV show was I watching the other day, and the character was, oh, that happened in Normal People, didn't it?
Yeah,
and that I didn't like that.
I feel like I've asked Joe to try and take my makeup off before, and he said no, and that was it.
And that was the end of that.
I felt like if Jack gave you a fringe trim, that would be quite intimate. If he was like, came really close and it was like, shh, shh, shh.
But also I just heard like, oh shit.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I feel like if your partner was a professional hairdresser, it might be different.
Please let us know if your partner is a professional hairdresser. Let us know if it's sexy or not.
Is fringe trimming the new foreplay? We'd like to know.
And on that note, we're going to move over to our Quarantales. Now, have you already coined Quarantales?
Yeah.
No, only because somebody's written in with a funny story and she said, can I copyright it? And I was like, I don't know if you can. I think Liv's already done it.
I've copyrighted it. I've put the last of my money into copywriting that word, just so one of our dear listeners cannot.
So we're just basically going to share funny things that have happened to people whilst in lockdown, social distancing, whatever you want to call it. And I would just like to do, well, I'm going to start basically. And I've got a bird problem. So I don't know if I've mentioned, I actually haven't mentioned this on the podcast. So a few weeks ago when it was like really warm, there's a bit of humble bragging in here. We were in the hot tub in the garden.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Sounds awful.
I know. Anyway, I got out. Jack and June were both in the hot tub and I got out and was like, right, I'm going to go and wash my hair. It was hair washing day, just to really set the scene. Upstairs in a towel because I tend to take like my cozy off outside rather than like traipsing through the house in a wet swimsuit.
Oh yeah, no.
Anyway, so I come upstairs and I'm like, I can definitely hear somebody. I can hear something. Like, shit, like what am I going to do? I'm in my towel. Someone's broken into the house and they're in my office. You know, where you just start going on those like ridiculous, like,
yeah, you're like, oh, this is it. I knew this was going to happen. It's happened right now.
Yeah, I knew. Anyway, so I like peek my head in the office and there's a bird in there. So I shut the door quicker than lightning because I love to bird watch. But if a bird is flapping anywhere near me, forget it. You can forget it. Anyway, so I like run downstairs to go and tell Jack. But meanwhile, he's in the hot tub with June still with the bubbles on. And I'm like, there's a bird. There's a bird inside. There's a bird inside. And he's like got the bubbles on in the hot tub. And he's like, what? What? I can't hear you. I'm like, switch the bubbles off. So he switches the bubbles off. And I'm like, there's a bird in my office. And he's like, what kind of bird? And I'm like, never mind.
Does it matter?
Kind of bird? Go and get the damn thing out. So he's like running upstairs. And then I didn't really know what to do with June because I was like, if I get her out of the hot tub, like I'm going to have a soggy, wet toddler on my arms. Yeah. But like, I can't just leave her in the hot tub. So I was like halfway between the hot tub and the door because bear in mind, it's flown through the kitchen, which is at the back, up the stairs, up into my office. Like there's no open windows.
I bet you felt like actually the best thing for me to do at this point is to stay in the hot tub. And then just watch.
Well, you can't quite see the window from the hot tub. So I was like halfway between. June was like, what's going on? There's a bird. I'm like, you stay there. Like, the
you
last thing.
Don't get involved.
Yeah. The last thing we need is you getting involved. So then you can see Jack. And eventually, yeah. And it's a robin. And it's Jack opens the window in my office and it's flown free.
Wow. No, I feel like that's very stressful. And it reminds me of when I lived in two houses ago with my family house. We had an incident. We had fireplaces. And a bird had come down the fireplace and got out and it was flying around the house, this pigeon. And my mum was just like, there's an eagle in the house.
There's an eagle.
And it was pooing everywhere because it was obviously really stressed. And she called the neighbour. She was like, there's an eagle. And I think Roger next door was a bit like, this is not an eagle. But it's so stressful, though. Even if it's quite a small bird, I think you're quite like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, this robin was quite small. And then it left, like, the most delicate poo on my office chair.
Oh,
because it, kind you know, of. Yeah, like, not a seagull poo. It was just, like, a little robin poo. But then, so fast forward to Sunday, and I can, like, hear things in the walls. And I'm like, oh, what's going on?
Oh, God.
And I was in my office, and then Jack used my office. And he was like, yeah, no, I could hear those things. Because sometimes, you know, you say to, like, who you live with, oh, I can hear things. And they're like, yeah, sure. Fine. But then he heard them and I was like, what is it? And then we heard like flapping behind the fire, and we have a fireplace and it's a gas fire, so it's all like locked, like you can't, yeah, you can't fly through. So we're like, what are we gonna do? So I looked on the RSPCA's website and the the bird one, the Royal Protection, yeah, Society of Birds, and they're like, well, we're running on minimal staff, like, obviously, and only if it's an emergency. And I'm like, well, it's not an emergency, but like, I don't want to kill a bird. So eventually we like speak to my brother on the phone and he's like, well, you just need to do this. So Jack like breaks apart the fireplace, and then so he's like looking, shining torches up there, and then he like got some pressurized air to try and get it out because we left it. And we're like, oh, maybe it's flown back up the chimney. Anyway, like 2 hours later, we've like closed it up, we can hear it flapping again. So then we just open it, and eventually it comes out, and that's the end of that story. But like,
came out the chimney.
Yeah, it came out the chimney, and we closed all the doors so it could like just fly straight out the front door.
Oh, wow.
But why are all these birds coming in my house?
Do you know, I've had a bird tail as well. And there's a solution to mine as well, because I was worried. Because the other morning, it happened two mornings on the trot. And Joe and I woke up and we could hear like a... And it was at the bathroom window. We didn't realise. And I was kind of like, what is that noise? And it was a bird, a blackbird, flying into the bathroom window. And I was like, that cannot be a good omen. Like, I was like, whoa. And I was having a bit of a dodgy week. And I was like, please, not now.
And it just kept trying to fly into your bathroom window.
Yeah, so I think it obviously saw its reflection. Because it could see, like, trees. Like, the reflection from the bathroom window is, like, the sky and trees. So I think it kept, like, thinking, oh, another bird. And then I was just like, why is that? Like, what? How do I stop this? Because it's going to hurt itself, essentially. It's going to knock itself out. And I was like, what if this is a bad omen? What if something's going to... I was really like, oh, God, oh, God. Anyway, I was in the bath and I saw a blackbird, and I think there's a nest in the roof. So I feel like there's a blackbird nest up there because I can hear them pattering around.
But can you keep obviously it down up there?
I know. I think he's obviously trying to get back there, but I was very stressed and I was thinking I could really do without without that kind of like forecoming of, you know, a blackbird message.
Well, it's just kind of like you want to keep the birds safe, but like I don't really know what best to do with them, not being a bird wrangler.
I don't know how to help you, Mr. Bird.
Tell me, Mr. Blackbird, how can I help?
That's my core. Have you got any more quarantales before we open up the floor?
No, mine's just birds just coming in my house and me having to rescue them.
No, I've got one more thing that I've been doing, and this is a way of, it's happened a couple of times, and if my personal trainer is listening, turn off now because it gets really boring. But basically, my personal trainer has been doing live classes, and I like to go along and support. But sometimes one is on a Saturday, and I don't want to exercise on a Saturday. I can't exercise on a Saturday. And anyway, no matter how bad I'm feeling, Saturdays are not for physical activity. It is the holy day of rest. And I've been tuning in, and one way I've discovered that you can make it look like you are really involved in an exercise class is by putting the flame emoji and the water droplets, because it's like, oh yeah, this is killing me. And I've been trying to get involved like that. And so if she's like, oh, hi, thanks for joining, I'm like, oh yeah, burn. And that's like what fitness people do, because I've observed a few. I've observed what people do. So when I've done her class on a Tuesday, they are brilliant classes, and I've done cycles classes, and I feel like fitness people, when they're exercising, the trainer is going, how's it going, like, to comment if you're feeling burny. And so people are commenting flames or the sweat emoji. So I've decided that's what I do to make it look like I'm exercising when I am in fact stationary.
I cannot believe you do that. That's so, I mean, it shocks me in a way, but it's also like, so you in a nutshell, that you couldn't just tell her that you don't want to exercise, so you just keep turning up to show support. But also the deceits. You're so far in now. How many weeks have you been doing this for?
Only two.
Are you going to do it for a third?
No, because I did tell her, I was like, oh, I do sometimes tune in and just watch.
I can't believe you've done that.
I know. I wanted to be supportive, but I think on a Saturday, I can't.
It's just not the day for you.
It's not the day for me. I'll do it any other day of the week at any other time, but just not a Saturday.
Fair enough, babe. Fine. Right, we're going to open up the floor now.
This is a very, very sweet quarantale. I've just literally, 4 minutes ago, I've had a text from my nan, because I'm phoning her this afternoon, and I was like, let's have a catch up. And she's just said, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3:00. It was very small. Three guests in all, just I, myself and me. myself ate the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me.
That's so cute.
A small poem, but I quite enjoyed that.
Thanks, Liv's nan.
Thanks, Joan. We loved that. So, opening up the floor to your quarantales and the things you've been getting up to, we have had some wonderful emails, which Charlotte has kindly popped together. I've not read them yet, so I feel like I wanted it to be like high impact, much like the exercise I've not been doing.
So the first one is from Kaylee on Instagram, and this one really made me laugh. And also, Kaylee wanted to copyright Quarantale, so Liv and her can argue. You can argue amongst yourselves. But anyway, Kaylee works as a social media manager at a university, which means that she plans, creates, and uploads her social media content each day. This one really tickled me. Also, whilst in lockdown, I have been filming silly videos to entertain children from my church while they're stuck at home. Last week, I uploaded a post to the university Facebook page with a link to a video which I thought was a performance from uni students, but actually I posted a video of me playing with a teddy bear and talking about cuddling your teddy bear while feeling afraid. It was up for about two hours, meaning a couple of thousand people might have watched it before my friend told me I'd uploaded the wrong video.
Oh God, that is the kind of thing I would do.
I just, like, I want to see the video with teddy bears. Like, that's the content I'm here for. And just to, like, actually, it just really tickled me. Really enjoyed that one. Thanks very much. I think she was a bit mortified. She was like, at least it's given you a laugh. I was like, it has. Thanks very much.
I would like to see the video. I really would.
Yeah, I would like to see your bear videos. So, if you don't mind, that would be great. I really enjoyed this one as well. This one really, I'm going to read my two other funny ones that have really tickled me. So Louise Calland says, this one was on Instagram, my lockdown story. My 83-year-old nan has been quarantining alone, so we've all been rallying around her, to the extent that she's complaining now she gets too many phone calls. But right before the clap for carers last week, we got a call from her neighbour to say that my nan was trapped inside the bathroom because the door handle had broken. She literally had to yell, help, out of the window. Thinking quickly, my dad just removed our bathroom door handle to take as a replacement. The very last thing he said as he left was, just don't shut the bathroom door. Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. 5 minutes later, if that, I'd walk straight into the bathroom, shut the door, and got trapped. The rescue. Sorry. The rescue party had already left for my nan's house, so I had to pick my way out. I had to pick my way out with some nail scissors. Long story short, nanny's okay, staying sane, and I'm not so sure about myself.
There's so many elements of that I love. I love the fact that her dad took their bathroom door handle as a solution.
It was just like, this is what, obviously he must know Nan's bathroom door handle. So he's like, this will solve the problem.
And I just love the fact that like, there was a moment where two people were both like simultaneously just stuck in their bathrooms from the same situation going, help.
And imagine, right? So last week we had Clap for Carers, and then they had two songs for VE Day, which unfortunately we couldn't go out because it was peak bedtime and it was all hell had broken loose. Anyway, they've got When We'll Meet Again in the White Cliffs of Dover after Clap for Carers, and they had a PA system, and everyone came and stood at the end of their drive. So imagine if Nan was in like our downstairs bathroom, and it was the particular VE Day Clap for Carers edition, and the PA was playing saying when will we meet again, and she's stuck in the loo and no one can hear her because
who knows?
They've got the PA system, which I would like. I've got a lot of questions as to where number 100 got the PA system from.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I'm quickly trying to read these ones.
I'm going to read the last one that I absolutely love. And this is by Sinead on Instagram. And she says, in the rare moments of calm I get when my toddler is sleeping, I like to sit outside with my cuppa in my garden. And there's a woman on the street behind mine. I live on a pretty quiet suburban street, who every day for the past 3 weeks. I really thought I could get through it. Every day for the past 3 weeks, somewhere between 1 and 3 p.m., she slams the back door, stomps down a patio and just screams, fuck, really loudly. And she's put loads of views. I can't see her, so I don't know for sure, but I think she's just screaming at the sky. And it often makes you feel less alone in getting royally frustrated with my own offspring. I just heavily related to that one. I've not tried that. Might try it.
Stamping up and down the stairs. Fuck. Okay, so one of the last ones we got was from Daisy Hall. And Daisy, I haven't read this yet, Charlotte said I'm going to enjoy it, said, we needed to move our old piano into the garage to make room for a new electric piano we'd bought before lockdown started. Didn't realise pianos are heavy and that it didn't fit through the living room door. No idea how my parents got it in the house in the first place. Ended up dragging it into the garden and managed to get it stuck in the grass. Dad devised an elaborate plank old door winch system to try and unstick it, which resulted in him snapping the planks and getting them jammed in the base of the piano. Oh God. Piano is now stuck in the middle of the garden with planks literally tethering it to the ground. What are the neighbours going to think? Dad gets a hammer out and prizes the planks out of the base, and we heave it to the garden gate. It's too big to fit through there too. At this point, we've been lugging a piano around various parts of the house for 3 hours. Cutting a long story short, piano is now sitting in disgrace. In the middle of our conservatory, which is in fact 2 meters away from where it started.
I mean, that one.
Oh God. Like, I just feel like every time they look at that piano now, it's just going to be you again. You're still there.
I just don't know what to say. Farcical. I really enjoy a farcical story.
That's a real slapstick.
Can you read Samantha 1988 out as well? That I think you'll enjoy this one.
Samantha 1988 says, so I went outside this morning, just pottering around the front garden in my PJs. Neighbour is washing my car, which that's a great start because that's questions. Questions are like, there to be asked.
What?
Like, oh, you've really, like, I feel there's a real passive aggression that comes with taking that job upon yourself when you're like, I cannot look at your vehicle any longer.
Well, I mean, carry on reading the story.
Oh, wait. Samantha says, I didn't know what to do. I said something along the lines of, oh, you don't have to worry about doing that. Please don't wash my car. Neighbour replied, oh, don't mind me. I've been dying to wash it. I replied, do you have anything that I can wash for you? The look I got, so awkward and strange. My answer was to bake blueberry muffins and left them on the doorstep. Knock a door runner. I just, yeah, that kind of situation. I probably wouldn't have baked the muffins. I think that was a very kind act, Samantha. But I feel like if they have voluntarily decided to almost passive aggressively clean something for you, I don't know if they deserve that reward.
Yeah, very, very strange.
That's a very kind thing to do, though, Samantha. So you can rest assured that you've done the right thing.
Right, I'm going to read one from Beth.e. I don't know if I only found this funny because nothing remotely interesting has happened in a few days, but hopefully it might make you laugh. Basically, my mum came home with the shopping and put the bags on the kitchen floor, then went to get the rest from the car. Then our puppy tried to help and ran off with a leak. He ran out the front door and I had to chase him around the garden with it when I finally got him inside. We came in the back door and he ran back out again. A leak, of all things. It was almost as big as him.
Oh, that's really cute.
That's a cute, like a cute tale.
That's a cute tale, a Quarren cute tale. If there's any video footage of that, Beth, we would love to see it.
Also, I saw on Instagram that All That Is She... I'm sure that's her handle, their dog, and it's a whippet, ate four Yorkshire puddings. Four, not just one Yorkshire pudding. They cooked the roast, ate four.
I mean, can you blame the dog?
Not really. Not really. But how annoyed would you be? Like, you've gone to all the effort to cook a roast, and it's not just eaten one Yorkshire pudding, it's a family of four, and it ate all four.
Yeah, I feel like that's assuming they had one each, in which case I think that's their own fault.
They should have made eight.
I know, one Yorkshire pudding each. I mean, we're at least a two or three household.
I don't know how many Yorkshire puddings we cook. It's very rare to be cooked. We cook toad in the hole, which means that you don't have to divide just like a lot of Yorkshire pudding. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, the more the merrier in this house. I could just eat Yorkshire pudding with nothing else. I saw, actually, this is quite funny. I don't know whether this is a thing. Just before we wrap up, we'll save some more Quarren tales for next week because I feel like it's nice to just hear some nice stories every week from you all. But I saw on Instagram, I don't know what, I did save this. So there is a US chef called Ina Garten, who's very famous, who I didn't realise, 2.6 million followers.
Oh, no big deal.
No, yeah, very famous. And she'd shared a picture of her dinner. Like, she shares lots of recipes that people love. Maybe she's kind of like a Nigella figure. New York Times bestselling, may I add. People are going to be listening to this like, yeah, have you never heard of her? And she shared this. She shared this caption. It said, it's week whatever in quarantine and I needed dinner in a hurry. So I wrapped some hot dogs in puff pastry and baked them. Oh my God, they were so good. Love the high-low thing. Plus they took 5 minutes to prep, and shared this image, which I'm showing Charlotte. Basically a hot dog. And I love, basically a sausage roll. And everyone's commenting like, in England, we call this a sausage roll. Like, and everyone's kind of like, oh my God, who besides me is defrosting a hot dog right now? And everyone's like, like people are like, sausage roll in the UK. And it's just, I love the fact that she's made a sausage roll, but people are like, oh, so avant-garde. And I'm like, it looks kind of
and
like...
And also, actually, I would like to go back to her method. So hot dog, a microwave puff pastry.
I think she might... Did she microwave it? Let me just...
Made that aspect up.
It looks quite crispy. So I feel like I don't know whether you'd actually succeed with that.
She went in the oven.
Yeah, let me just check. No, baked them, but she has put the recipe on her website, so maybe I'll send
pastry,
that over to you,
please. That would be great. We have got more Quarren tales, but we'll read some more out next week and keep them coming because I'm very much enjoying them.
I'm loving.
I don't know why Nan stuck in the toilet's really got me.
Oh, that's the kind of, I think it's because it's something everyone can kind of see a family member that happening to.
Yeah, I'm the family member that's gone into the bathroom when my dad's told me not to go in there and shut the door. I've locked myself in the bathroom. But one of the last emails that I want to read out is going back to last week's name drop emails, which I really, really enjoyed. And this one's from Catherine in Glasgow. And she says, hello, I hope you haven't missed the boat. I mean, you did miss the boat, but luckily for you, there was another boat trip later on in the week. My dad, who is a retired social worker, but one of those people who knows everyone, capital letters. And I feel like in Glasgow, like, everyone knows everyone. So if you know everyone in Glasgow, like, you really know everyone. He always finds a moment to bring up the fact he used to be a roadie for none other than the Jackson 5. Also, a big party once, Liv's face. Casual. Also, at a big party once, me and my mates were in the kitchen having a discussion about the most famous person we'd ever seen or met, and casually my dad walks in and goes, Nelson Mandela is probably up there, and saunters out the kitchen with his drink. Wild.
I feel like that is that I can see that happening. That is such a, like, a dad thing to just saunter off, like, yeah, just drop that in there. Like, I'm so gonna be that parent. So gonna be that parent that drops something and then walks off and everyone goes, all right, pipe down.
My mum actually called me and was like, I can't believe, but she knew the person that made a yellow submarine for the film premiere, and it was actually, like, there was a physical, like, yellow submarine, and it was in his garden in Grimsby, and he made it. And she then reminded me that my grandpa once did Alfred Hitchcock's stage makeup.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, my grandpa was a vicar, well, a port missioner of the docks, like, and he just did like a course in stage makeup, and then before one thing led to another, and he's doing Alfred Hitchcock's. Do you know what I mean?
That's wild. I actually have one more then, if the boat is just waiting to leave.
Yeah. Last call for the name drop boat trip.
Okay, so Lauren McCrusty sent me a voice note on Instagram. Can I play it, do you reckon?
Get it up to the speakers.
Should I get it up to the speaker?
I'll tell you if the quality's beyond the fringe of it quality.
There's a very high standard there.
I've seen people on Instagram recording podcasts underneath bed sheets. I'm not getting that hot.
Sorry, everyone. Okay, so this is her voice note. See if you can hear it.
Hi, Liv. Hi, Charlotte. I'm just listening to your most recent podcast episode now, and you've asked for most name-droppy family history mentions. And I have quite a cool one. My grandfather's grandmother or great-grandmother was the inspiration for C.S. Lewis's Alice in Wonderland. So I'm kind of related to Alice in Wonderland, you could say. But yes, love the podcast and hope you are both all really well and sending all the best.
My eyebrows have raised so far off my forehead, like they've almost disappeared.
There we go. We have a relative of Alice in Wonderland.
You get it all here at the fringe of it.
I know. Things you cannot find elsewhere, you will find here.
If you would like to get in touch with us, our email is thefringeofit@gmail.com. You can always drop us a DM on Instagram, and we are Fringe of It.
Every time.
Every single time. Get over it. We're on Twitter at The Fringe of It. We're not very active there. I'm sorry. We've got a lot of platforms. Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/thefringeofit. We will see you next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to review and rate us kindly, if not, don't bother. Just want the nice reviews.
Keep massaging our ego.
Well, we're trying the best under the circumstances, all right?
Thank you so much for listening and always being so kind and generous with your stories. Stay safe, look after each other, and we will see you next week. Bye.
See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.